Welcome to Untamed Blossoms, the podcast where we celebrate the untamed journey of womanhood. Here, we tell the stories of incredible women who have embraced their authenticity, inspiring others to do the same.
From entrepreneurs to artists, activists to adventurers, we share triumphs, challenges, and the beauty of self-discovery. These are the stories of women blazing their own trails, breaking free, and blooming unapologetically.
Join us to connect, be inspired, and celebrate the power of women's stories. Together, let's rewrite the rules and embrace our wildness.
Welcome to Untamed Blossoms. I'm your host, Amanda Riley.
And I'm Christy Riley. Welcome to the show.
We had the best weekend ever.
We did. So, we had a great weekend.
Yes. The clothing swap was awesome.
It was really beautiful. Yeah. Yeah.
I knew we were going to have a lot of clothing.
I didn't understand the amount we were going to have. Yeah.
It escalated quickly in a good way.
In a good way. Yeah. 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 My husband, I would be lying if I didn't say that he did have a panic moment at one stage in the middle of it. And he's like, what are we doing with all these clothes? And yeah. I was like, don't fret. People did come with more than they left with. So we do have a large pile left over. Mm-hmm. But we have identified a couple of organizations here locally. One of them is a young women's shelter. So for homeless 16, 24-year-old young girls, which I think is amazing, that we'll be taking some of them and possibly another group that supports moms. So they all came as recommendations from people that already follow us. They're supporting us, volunteers that helped us yesterday. So we're happy to give back to all of that.
Absolutely.
Felt really good.
It did. And I will say, I just hope this is encouraging to anyone who has an event coming up or is going on vacation. Before you go buy something new, see if a friend has it. Literally, some of my best friends were here yesterday, and the fact that I got probably 20 pieces of clothing that I can now use in a different way. I'm in a different setting now. I'm in a professional setting, at a place where people dress up every day, and I didn't have those clothes prior. And even if I did, they definitely don't fit.
Right.
And to know I didn't have to go out and buy anything. That's a beautiful thing. And it's just a reminder that we all have things. Maybe it's not clothing, but we all have different items that we no longer use that someone else could use. So What can you do next time you need to go buy something to see how you can either upcycle or trade or, you know, there's so many options.
Right. And, you know, anybody who follows us knows that we both are big on sustainability as much as we can. And sometimes that feels like you're failing.
Yeah.
Right? Like sometimes you feel like, wow, every time I take the plastic trash bag out of my trash can and where that goes, now I'm like, I feel guilty for what I'm putting in there in some ways. And some of it's unavoidable. Some things just don't not come in that kind of packaging, you know? Right. And so wherever we can, you know, help support companies that are really doing the right things and trying to put their products in containers that are recyclable, that are biodegradable, that, you know, all of those things, it starts small. And nobody's perfect, and not to beat yourself up. And I think that's been a journey during this whole thing for me, is trying to figure out, you know, how can you do it and not do it perfectly and still feel okay about that?
Right.
You know, that every little bit helps.
Totally.
And so things that we're suggesting here is just clothing swap and not purchasing as much. You know, if we change our consumerism, it changes the amount they produce, right? So if we are just reusing the things that we have more often, if we are, you know, our local, there's two local chapters here in Columbus of repair guys that are running these repair clinics. So taking your small appliances and letting these guys who have this amazing gift of tinkering, if you will, and just repairing what you have instead of throwing it in the trash can and buying a new one on Amazon, right? Mm-hmm. It's that simple act that changes the impact on our environment. And it's really simple things. And just find your local place. And it saves money at the same time too. And not makes, it doesn't, we get away from this throwaway culture. Everything is expendable and throw away and just get a new one.
And on to the next.
And on to the
and
next.
Even I listened to a podcast and there was an author talking about her book and I was like, wow, I really want to read this book. But it wasn't something I could get like walking into a bookstore. And my friend was like, hey, do you know in Westerville, we have a bookstore that you can call them and say, hey, this is a book that I want. They will order it for you and then deliver it to you. Oh. I had no idea. And it's things like that. You can find these sustainability groups in your local communities and you can find local businesses that will order things. I think we are in such a habit of, well, I don't see it in the stores. I have to order it from Amazon. It's like, well, there's probably a lot of different ways we can support local if we ask those questions. And it's just important to seek those people and that information out. Yeah. So
small changes make sense. And that's, you know, it feels overwhelming sometimes, like I'm just one little person. But no, we're not. Yeah. You know, we have influenced a lot of people around us to come and just be a part of this. And I was like, wow, this is a great idea, but I never knew how to get it together. And so encouraging you to, you know, if you're one of those people that really have the skill of putting an event together, and trust me, it wasn't, there are details involved. Don't get me wrong. There's graphics. We put it all over our social media, but the actual logistics of it wasn't terrible. We had a few people show up to help us set up the tables, labeled them by size. You know, and I learned some things about it yesterday that maybe we would change if we needed to, if the scale got too big, but you know, you assign a person to each little table, they set out their stuff, you exchange it, and then they take their stuff back with them and they can donate it to wherever they would like to donate it. You know, right. It doesn't have to be all on the, you know, we chose to keep the clothes that we were over for our event and we're going to donate them to places. And, you know, but if it got too big, that would be a huge undertaking. Right. Yeah. And so it may not be something where like, yeah, you come and you shorten it to 3 hours and the people who are wanting to exchange stay and mingle. The cool thing, the secondary thing of that is that we had 10 new people that had never met us or knew about Untamed Blossoms that just saw our event on social media that showed up here yesterday.
Yeah, that was my favorite
and
part.
Yeah,
honestly.
It was my favorite part. And we got to meet them and know who they are. And some of them live close and were really interested in the podcast, had no idea what our podcast was about. And ways, you know, we had realtors here and we had people that needed them. And like people were just naturally exchanging information to help each other out. And so it truly was a women's empowering event where women are supporting other women. And it was really beautiful. And everybody chatted and got to know each other. And it was really cool. It was my favorite part. So there's all these side benefits of people that are running businesses that also got to benefit from the event yesterday.
Sometimes when we want things to be perfect, it feels like we can over plan, or we talk about this all the time, but not do the thing, because it's like, well, it's not perfect, or it's not this, or it's not that. And you know, sure, we could have changed some things, but at the end of the day, we help people upcycle their wardrobes. We help people connect to one another, and we help people find at least one other person to be in community with. So,
and we're going to support our local charity.
Yep, absolutely.
A nonprofit that really this clothing will benefit the most.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. So it ended up in the hands, not of another corporation that's going to sell it for their own gain, but it'll, you know, because some of the nonprofits will take these clothes and sell them. We're literally gifting them, and people that are really in need are going to be able to use them for free. And so they are finding a home at some point of a place that really needs them. Yeah. So it was really cool. My heart was full yesterday.
Same.
Yeah.
Yeah. I slept well last night. And I was like, oh. Yeah. Well, I slept well also because we were running around.
It was a busy day, but
I was like, oh, I didn't really work out yesterday. Like I usually like to get a walk in or something. And I didn't.
We never
time.
Sat down yesterday.
I looked at my watch. It was like, you have 12,000 steps. And I was like, was I just pacing that entire event? Was I just walking the length? And I think I was. So.
Well, we were talking to people and then people would come in with clothes and we would help them. And so we made laps around the tables multiple times. We put a lot of steps in last night. Yeah. Crazy. Yeah. That's great.
But so today I'm excited because we have a chance to do a solo episode, which our calendar was very full so far this year, which has been amazing. But it's nice that we'll be able to, I think this will probably air end of February and we're in January right now. So looking forward to just chatting together for a change with our camera, our first solo YouTube recorded.
Family, hello.
Hey, remember to like us on YouTube.
And I actually smelled, I wanted to tell you, I spilled kombucha on me earlier. So if I smell like vinegar or some weird, funky, fermented something food, that's what it was. I shook it on accident and it exploded all over my head and lit off.
Everyone who knows me knows my sinuses are so bad. I never smell anything. And I think it's one of people's favorite qualities about me.
Yes. They're like, I don't know if you can see Leroy's little body, but Leroy's like the best doggy boy.
Our mascot.
But today, you guys, we're going to be talking about transitions and transformation. And I know that Amanda and I have had conversations about this a lot, in that I am nothing close to the version of myself I was in younger versions of myself. And so to the point that current me wouldn't recognize old me, and old me would definitely not recognize new me. And what that feels like, and that means new careers and sometimes new friends and sometimes new relationships. And we continue to morph in this world. And I think my personal spiritual beliefs is that that's what we're meant to do. That's what we're here for, is growth and development. So, you know, how can you embrace that and not be afraid of it and all the chapters that comes with it and all the change that comes with it? And I will preemptively say that it is part of our design, our human design, that we change and morph a lot.
Yep.
And I personally used to hold a lot of shame around that. And like, there was something wrong with me. And I'm happy to report that I've shed all of that.
Get out of here.
And I embrace it as one of my superpowers and not something that I have to be shameful about. That I know a little bit about a lot of things, and that's cool.
Yeah.
And that's literally what I meant to do.
Yeah.
I'm literally meant to continue to gain knowledge, dabble in things. So it doesn't light me up anymore. And I don't know what the goal of that is at the end goal, but I do know that I use a lot of my current things that I've dabbled in. Now, all of those little tidbits of all of that that collectively serve me now in what we're doing. And I don't think, I know that the old version of me would not be able to sit here on camera and be on the interweb interviewing women, feeling confident in my own skin and my own body, and, you know, being okay in sweatpants. And we're talking about getting an Untamed Blossomed uniform of, you know, that we just show up in every day, because we don't want that to be the messaging about what we have on. And, you know, it's not something that we're tied to. And,
well, it's not about that, right?
It's not about that, you know?
It's about the journey. And that's what today's conversation really is about, is what does your journey look like? And you are the journey in this lifetime, growing, developing, changing, pivoting. Those things are so important to feel fulfilled, and you shouldn't have shame or feel bad about those things, because ultimately, as you mentioned, each of those pivots help you gain something that you need to be more successful, or not even successful, but to feel more complete through the next thing that you do. They're all just stepping stones.
Yeah. And I think our society puts a lot of, you know, that we do have chapters in our life. We do have, you know, our childhood, and then our adolescence, and then our young adult lives, and then our working lives, right, where you start to really become working and have a family if you're going to have one. And, you know, and so we naturally go through these phases of our lives. And yet somehow in the background, we're mourning the previous stage. Like, and how many people get stuck in, man, my glory days were back when I was a teenager in high school. Wow. I hope not.
Yeah.
Right. I hope not. I hope that you can embrace every phase and not look and be like, well, those were the glory days. And, you know, and I know that there are things that even this version of me, I miss as a younger version of me, right? The strength and agility my body had. And you can label different things that you miss, and maybe your looks, or maybe the hair that you used to have and it's not the same anymore, whatever that looks like. But not to spend too much time in that space, because it takes away from wow, I have all of this wisdom and I've lived all of this life and it's brought me beautifully to this place that I am now. And don't spend a lot of time wishing, wishing it away that you had a previous version of yourself in this space, because that's not possible.
But I think it goes back to the labels that we put on ourselves.
Yeah.
And then it's not, I don't always necessarily think it's the person that you were, you're so hooked on. It's the label that you had when you were that person.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. So when I was in college, I was the fun person. I was the person who gathered people. I was a connector. And even though I'm still all of those things, it was much more vibrant and hyper-focused. And I didn't have a lot of responsibilities yet. So it felt more fun. But that label can be something that's hard to remove from.
Right.
And we just started an Enneagram course with Dr. Mary, who's been on the pod. And we did this great activity where we had to introduce ourselves. And you said your name and you said, I am. And we all went around and finished that sentence.
Hi, my name is Christy and I am.
What did you say? Do you remember?
I said I was a Sagittarian and grateful to be there.
Yes. I said I was a Leo and missed the sunshine and being warm.
Yes.
I'm very dramatic.
And everybody finished the sentence with something else. And the point was, and to be fair, to give everybody background, we're studying Eckhart Tolle's book. Hour of Now. And that was meant to be a complete statement.
Yeah.
Meant to be a complete statement. Hi, my name is Christy and I am. And sitting in that, I think, is even more uncomfortable for women in that we are not our labels. We are absolutely, you know, I am a mother, I am a sister, I am a wife, I am a, you could go on with the labels forever. And the point is that who we truly are just is without all of those labels.
And we are in the moment just that person.
Yeah.
Because every moment that passes, you are something different.
Right. Depending on every single moment. Yeah.
Every moment.
Yeah.
Right now, we are podcasters.
Right.
When I leave here today, I will be a student.
Yeah.
Later tonight, if my husband's feeling lucky, I will be a wife and maybe do some wifely things around the home, right?
Right, right.
That one's probably not going to happen. But the point is, you know, as your day evolves, you're something different. The labels change throughout your day.
Yeah.
This morning I was a coach and a friend, you know, like it really fluctuates, but we get so stuck in what is the main role and how do I fulfill those duties? So I did want to ask you, what is a role that you had a really, really hard time losing attachment to?
Nurse.
Why?
One, because I identified it before I really started down this journey. I identified with it the most. And I think my ego was fed by that the most, right? Like, oh, you're so sweet. You're so kind. You take care of kids. You take care of babies. I could never do that. So I was constantly getting this, unbeknownst to me, I at the time I wasn't aware that my ego was being fed by the label that brought, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you're a children's hospital. Oh, I can't believe you do that. Oh, what an amazing, right? Like it made me feel better than whatever, right? Like, we don't realize our ego's doing that to us. Mm-hmm. It puts us above people, right? And so our ego really loves that. And oh, you couldn't do it. So. Of course. Right. Like you don't realize you're doing that, but it feels that way on the inside. So when I retired, suddenly there's not any of it.
Yeah.
And I went to realtor school, y'all. And there's not the same warm, fuzzy feel about realtors, turns out.
You're like, wow, this is a hard right.
No, I did a complete lap. And I was surrounded by people that were professionals every day at the hospital and highly educated physicians and friends with a lot of people. And I really missed the camaraderie of that and the conversations that I had with people. And not to say that I wasn't encountered with high-level professionals outside of that, but the day-to-day starting out in real estate, you may not see anybody. So I was very isolated. and not getting that accolade anymore, that hit, you know?
Yeah.
And I really struggled with that because I was like, well, who am I and what am I doing here? And I felt like my job there, really what I was struggling with was lack of purpose. Like I didn't feel like I was fulfilling any sort of purpose by being a realtor.
Right? And you were still doing some design work too, which still yes. filled your cup, but was still pretty isolating, right?
Yeah, yeah. I was by myself mostly during that time. And so I was very isolated and not with a group. And so that was, I would say that was the hardest time in my life, you know? And I had really started to sort of wake up to my own needs and my own self and my own trauma and my own struggle and was really going through it. And that's part of why I left nursing is I felt like I was doing that to meet a need, right? It's not only the caretaking piece of it was also a trauma response. And, you know, and so part of my journey to really figure out who I was, I needed to depart from that as my career. And really figure out what can I do. And I was in burnout, caregiver burnout, and, you know, which we all sort of struggle with in nursing off and on. And so it was time. I knew it was time. And yet the transition from that was really difficult. It was a real ego battle to come up from that and be like, I still have worth and value away from something that like that seems altruistic to the collective. Right. Yeah. And then I went to a hard left and something that most people find not altruistic in any way and distrustful most of the time. And, you know, and I was like, wait, but I'm a good person. And, you know, and yeah. So it was a weird dynamic, but the whole play of that made me feel way stronger at the end and really figure out what I wanted and what I was missing and what I needed to do. And, all of those things and multiple things took us down the road, right? Then COVID hit right after that. And so that career just kind of was put on pause because I really needed to jump into the restaurants, obviously during COVID, during shutdown. The restaurants were struggling hardcore and that was our livelihood and I needed to be a part of that to keep it afloat. So the universe forcibly took me out of real estate and I realized after that I wasn't sad about it.
This pivot was for the best.
Yeah. And I thought it would be something. I love real estate. I love investing in real estate. But I found out the selling of it was not really something that brought me real joy.
Yeah.
So that was an interesting shift, you know. And sometimes you go through these things and you're like, well, I don't know why I was meant to do this, but I did it. I've got the knowledge base and you know, and it didn't end up being anything that I stuck with.
Yeah. I think that's one important thing about transitions is there's always a fear of letting go when the pivot happens, no matter what. Even if it's something you don't like, there's always, of course, it was much harder. And that was the original point is like, it's much harder to pivot when you are deeply rooted or ingrained in something that speaks to your value or worth.
Right.
But also on the flip side, there are some things that you pivot to that you don't want to let go, even if you don't even like it.
Right.
Because you're like, well, what if? And I did this thing and now people have a different label for me. And I, you know, we struggle with this as being the energy types that we are and twos from the Enneagram type is like people now think of me this way or I did this thing. So now I just have to almost like save face, like, or I have to continue to do this because I've created this new label and now what? Like,
well, I want to prove myself.
Totally.
I think we want to prove ourselves. Yeah. That's the energy I found I was in. And I was like, well, I'm not going to do this because I'm going to prove despite all of these roadblocks that I've had in this new space I'm in, I'm going to prove myself because my self-worth needed proving.
Yeah.
When really it did not, right? Like my self-worth did not need proving by forcing myself to be successful at this. And by the way, I just didn't love it.
Yeah.
I just didn't love it.
Yeah.
I was just like, it's okay, but I'm not in love with this. This is not light me up. It does not bring me joy. None of those things were true, but I was content. And I would have had COVID not happened. I promise everyone this. I would have continued down that road.
Mm-hmm.
Until I was like
burnt out, done.
Burnout and done. But I would have been successful at it. I would have, because that's just what I do, right? But I would have, it would have been to the detriment of self.
Yeah.
And I think that's the lesson that I continue to struggle with. Enneagram twos, this is our struggle in general. Also being a manifesting generator, we have enough energy to do all the ideas. Sometimes we need to know when to not do them and when to walk away. And I think that's where we share. That's why you and I get along, I think, so well, is that we share in both of those struggles.
Yeah.
And we reflect ourselves in each other a lot. I think I can see myself in you and you see yourself in me a lot, and that you're like, wow, she should just hold back on that, or she should, you know, like we can, I think we help reflect that to one another. And I think that's why tribe is so important. It's who's around you.
Yeah.
When you do these transitions, right, is make sure you have the people around you to support you.
And it's always such a weird balance of supporting, but also helping someone realize like they're miserable. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. So two is my main type, but I have a close 3 and 7.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty, a lot going on. but that 3 for me is a lot about finding value in my profession. And I will say in a social atmosphere, I am a 2 all the way.
Right. Right.
But a lot of my life, I really relate to that. Like, I'm only valuable if I'm good at what I do.
Yeah.
And I am and I am willing to do anything. Like, I don't, what I'm passionate about is this. I've always been passionate about broadcast anything, you know, having a radio show in college, working for 10TV, which I told one of the realtors that I work with, I told her that this weekend. She was like, what? And she's like, wow. And I just thought to myself, like, that's so crazy. I used to always talk about my time working at 10TV because I was so proud of it. I loved it so much.
Yeah.
But after so long, you're like, well, this doesn't really pertain to my life anymore. And that like made me so sad.
That you deviated so far from your authenticity that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, that's really, really wild to me that I stopped talking about that time that really changed me.
Right.
And I loved it. And had it not been 2008 when everything went real down real fast, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I would have worked there forever. Like I would have loved to have a job there, but they couldn't hire me full time. And I just graduated college. I was living with my parents and I was traveling an hour a day there to edit video and stuff for about 3 hours and then driving out. I mean, it wasn't feasible. So you know, that's when I got into working in the restaurant business and then eventually corporate America. So I just find it fascinating that even when we know the pivots that we made really changed us and brought us where we are today, we can lose identity with those things because it's no longer who we are at the moment.
Yeah. What was the hardest one for you to pivot?
I was thinking it's either 2 things, which are going to sound wild. One is best friend. Mm. And then the other is leader and boss.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't want to sound any type of way when I say this, but I will say I've had a lot of people consider me their best friend.
Yeah.
Been in a lot of weddings. Been a maid of honor in a lot of weddings. So a lot of people I don't even talk to anymore, right? But I was the person who I feel like would prioritize anybody and everyone over myself.
Yeah.
And I was so willing to do anything anyone needed me to do that I found myself in best friend role a lot for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And as I got older and relationships changed, I just stopped prioritizing other people above myself. And then when things in a friendship started to feel not good, I was just willing to say, I'm not going to do this anymore.
Yeah.
And that's really, really, really hard when I find value, especially as a 2 and someone who's a connector and has a lot of energy to gather people. That's all over my human design. It's like
all
bringing
over
people
your
together.
Human design. Yeah. Yeah.
I remember having events thinking, okay, in this one, I'm going to invite this group and this group because this other group doesn't like this group. So when I do this event, I'll invite that group and this group. Like I was like doing table planning for a wedding in my head all the time, but for social gatherings. Right. You know what I'm saying? Right. And I just got to this point where
that's a lot of energy.
So much energy.
Yeah.
And I realized once I stopped doing that, I have less and less best friends, right? And of course, I have people I love and I care about and I'm very close with, but now I set boundaries if I have to. And if things aren't feeling great, I feel like I've worked really hard at that, of saying like, I love you and care about you. Therefore, I'm telling you, I can't have this conversation, or I can't be a part of this, or that's too much for me right now. I can't. And the people that care about me will honor those boundaries and will not make me feel bad about it. And the right. people that do, I just know it's not time and space any longer for us to be connected yeah. in that way.
Yeah.
So that was very difficult. And then I really loved being a boss and loved leading people. And I always say leader first, then boss, because I really tried to show up every day as a leader.
Right.
And deeply cared about my employees and deeply cared about their learning and empowering them in their lives outside of work. And I always wanted to know what their goals were, not inside the building that we were working in, and
right.
always championed them, whether it was Haley who's on the pod and her art shows, or right. you know, whoever it was. I just wanted to make sure I cared so much about them that they felt it in every aspect.
Right.
Which is also
a lot of energy.
So, you know, I still struggle with that every single day now that I'm out. It's only been 7 months since right. I've last been a leader and a boss. And like, it's still like, I can get emotional thinking about how much I miss people saying like, you changed my life. You helped me. You guided me in my career. You made me realize this isn't a career for me. You helped me get through a hard time. Like, I do miss that still every single day.
I do believe that we are helping people, and that's the whole yeah. point of this, right? Is that we really want to help women help themselves. And it's less about us and more about putting people's stories out. And the way we're connecting people that we're interviewing and people that we don't know are listening and connecting. And it's just a really beautiful sort of without being directly involved.
Yeah.
And yet we are, right? Yeah. And I know I can say that about podcasts I listen to. I know that you can say that about podcasts that mm-hmm. you've listened to, is that you have these aha moments listening to people, and they have no idea.
Right.
Right. And so as the person who's putting the information out there, you have to just be okay. And that's the work, right? Is being mm-hmm. okay, sitting here and being like, we are enough and what we're doing is enough, even if we don't get the accolades back. Right.
Well, that's the problem, I guess, is that when you prioritize expending your energy for other people all the time, that eventually runs out. It doesn't matter how much energy you have. We yeah. are the highest energy type for our human design, and it still creates burnout.
Yeah.
And it's like, so what do you do to generate connections to other people and make sure people are finding who they need for their lives without you being the person
right.
who does that legwork? Like, you're yeah. you're just allowed to be a source of information and connectivity without being also the conductor of it all.
Yeah. And that's the space we found.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's happening really beautifully.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the only way we really know that is if more people listen to our podcast. Yeah.
So
follow us on social media and on YouTube. You know, we are still people. We need the hit. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
So every now and then we're doing the work, but you know, sister needs some few hits.
Yeah.
But I think that's really a beautiful sentiment. And I think, you know, watching you, you've grown so beautifully in the last year, and the work you've done has been even in hard times, right? Like,
yeah.
This transition from corporate America has not been easy for you no. in any way. And I think that we I've watched you and reminded you, because I think it's easier when you're sitting out from it, right? To be like, hey man, just be open to what's coming at you, right? Mm-hmm. Can you talk about that, like, during this transition? Because I think you have more of a fresh perspective on it right now, as you've the most recently one that's gone through it. Just when it feels overwhelming, and I think we should talk about that, you know, yeah. how to get through those moments of doubt and did I do the right thing? And oh my God, is this the right, you know, the cliff jumping.
Yeah.
When you're in free fall off the cliff.
Yeah.
There's moments where you're like, shit, I don't know if I got on a parachute.
I mean, it's still once a week where I think to myself,
what have I done?
Why did you do this? What were you thinking? Yeah. You could have kicked back and just maybe relaxed a smidge and not jumped.
Yeah.
Maybe if you're thinking of that, Amanda, you know, like I do still have these conversations with myself because it's not easy ever.
Right.
It's never easy. It's hard. And when one thing changes, this is my personal experience. Everyone might feel differently. I know people feel differently because they've told me like, what? But I am a...
I don't know what you're going to say right now.
Okay. If I'm going to assess and change this one thing. Oh.
We're changing.
Everything's being assessed and everything will be changed.
Oh, God.
Like, I can't take one thing at a time. I'm like, no. No, absolutely not. So I think for me, I work against myself in some of those moments where... Yeah. I can't just be like, okay, I'm going to leave corporate, sure, and I'm going to start a podcast and it's going to be chill. No. I'm like, okay, let me take inventory of friendships. Let me make sure all these are working out, okay? If not, hard conversation time. Marriage. What's going on there? Is it good or is it bad? And if not good, then we need to fix this immediately. Maybe I want to join a new industry. Maybe I want to do something completely different outside of this also. And maybe I want to go back to school and maybe I need to save the environment. And then maybe also I need to stop shopping and save everything. And then also maybe I need to get into gardening. And also, I mean, the list just goes on and on. Jesus, right. I read like 50 books last year. Like, right. You know, like
right.
It's one of those moments for me that if I'm in it, I'm like, I might as well be in it for everything.
You your salad on.
And that type of transformation for me is just honestly how I operate. I wish I wasn't like that sometimes. I wish I could just take things a little bit more as they come, but I don't. And so to answer your question about like, what does it look like to take things that are coming at you? And I didn't really have an option because I literally started burning everything down. I literally just said, okay, where's the gasoline? Great. Now I have my match. Let's see.
Right.
Let's see what can come up.
Well,
of this.
But if you're aware that that's your process,
yeah.
Right? Then what have been your tools to sit in that, right?
Yeah.
Cuz you've created quite the hot seat by your analogy that you're sitting in, right? Yeah. Your tools for navigating that. Your tools, what have you learned about yourself in the last 6 months that has helped you in those moments to just sort of, I think I don't want to answer it for you, but feeling it and being in it and then coming on the other side of it.
You have to realize that you're the one that lit the match. You know what I'm saying? Like
not taking away the victim mentality.
Yeah. You before what I would have done was tell everyone how hard everything is all the time. I would have bitched and complained about it and posted on social media. Like, oh, there's nothing I relate to less than me 10 years ago, writing a post on Facebook. When those memories pop up.
To get the sympathy.
Oh, my God.
Are you okay?
Yeah. And it wasn't even like I was like cryptic. I was like, so mad. Have to go into work today. I'm exhausted. Would much rather be like, what was I? He's a monster. So now that's not my process. Now, you know, someone I care about or they care about me asks how I'm doing. I might say, yeah, I'm feeling overwhelmed. This is what's going on. And I had a friend the other day reach out to me who I hadn't talked to in a while. And he caught me in a moment where I was like, I was in school. Like I was doing the work.
Right.
We had a little podcast emergency also.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And he had called me about a business thing. And I didn't talk to him for a while. And I was trying to execute on the thing he was asking, right? And he was asking me how I was at that same time. And I'm actually great.
Yeah.
Things are great.
Yeah.
But in that moment, I was like, yeah, it's fine. Everything's fine. Is this, oh, how's it? It's fine. How are you? I'm wonderful. I'm great. Things are awesome. I'm glad for you. You know, I was just like, not, I was being a shithead.
And you're being robotic.
Yeah. I was just lots going on. I'm like overwhelmed. And I said I was overwhelmed. And then later when I was like not in that space, I just texted and said, hey, I was kind of a shithead when we talked. I'm happy for you. I'm actually in a great place. Sorry. Probably didn't sound like that. I was just like, you know, whatever. And that's part of my toolbox now is communicating those things, not saying things to make people feel bad for me lighting my own match.
Right.
Saying, hey, I had a moment to reflect. I realized when we interacted, it wasn't a great, this is actually how I'm doing. I'm fine. I'm sorry if that came off, whatever.
Right.
And then in those moments where it's been really, 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 really hard, these last 6 months, you've been with me when that's happened on occasion, just letting myself cry, letting myself be super emotional.
This is new for you.
But it's not something I am naturally good at, as being vulnerable and showing how I'm feeling. Getting attention for when things were hard was something I used to do.
Yeah.
But being completely vulnerable with this is actually how I am and these are actually the things that are going on with me is never something I felt comfortable with. And now I do. What are the things that you feel like you had in your toolbox?
It's the first day that you cry on the podcast will be big. That'll be
will ever happen. My mind.
That'll be when we know we've come full circle. You know what I mean?
My mind does this thing around the podcast where, you know, I am Barbara Walters.
Yeah. You got the mental checklist happening.
Yeah. Like
I'm over here like, what are we talking about? I can go on for hours, whatever.
I'm like, okay. I'm like monitoring the volume. I'm like looking, making sure the camera's working. And I'm like, okay.
We could not be more yin and yang in this.
It works.
It totally works.
But that's my close three coming into play though of like,
yeah,
this is the thing. So like, I want to be good at this thing. And that's what I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
I cry all the time when I listen to our podcast. Right. So I'm editing it, but on air, no, can't.
I'm busy. Full on all the time. Full on all the time.
So how do you, you've had a lot of change, honestly, with getting back into the business, getting out of the business, deciding to move out of suburbia, out here, doing something like a podcast, which at first you were like, nah, dog. So that's a lot. Talk about your toolbox and things that you've done to help navigate that.
I think inner questioning, right? Listening to your, and this is why we do what we're doing, is just now listening to your story about having all the things. And I know what you're doing. I know all the tabs you have open on your computer and on your brain, right? So taking that phone call in that moment, really, you didn't have a tab available.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Really. And so that's, and when things like that happen and I find myself apologizing for my behavior, or I find myself thinking about, wow, I should have done that differently. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get myself to the place of like, where can I be in advance of that? Mm-hmm. What should that version of myself in that moment done differently to have a different outcome so that I could really be present with that friend that I hadn't talked to in a long time and given them my full attention and not been curt or short with them because I had too many tabs open.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm at is I do a lot of reflecting on when those emotions show up, sitting with that and coming up with a response of how did I get down that road?
Yeah.
And what could I have done differently? Mm-hmm. I could have been like, I saw you called, text back. Yeah. I am so slammed right now. I can't wait to talk to you. Can I call you later tonight when I have real time and energy to devote to this conversation?
Yeah.
Right?
We'll push you a little.
Because
this happens a lot, I feel like, for you with family obligations, which is a little more tricky, right?
Yes. As a mom and a juju. Yes.
Like, how do you navigate that? Because that's some experience that I think I don't have for the most part. It's like, man, yours is pretty familial, and I can't imagine that is comfortable always in those
moments.
It's
not, but I find myself saying no when I need to, right? And a perfect example, and Brittany, I love you if you're listening. She knows this already. Brittany called and said, my husband's ill. He's staying at home with a baby. Remy has an event tonight at her school. We're watching a movie with her classmates. Do you want to go with us? because I understand as a grandmother that this time is so fleeting, right? I don't like to say no to those opportunities because I do feel like those opportunities are the juicy parts, right? In some ways.
Yeah.
Like these are core years of Remy's that she has core memories that will be part of the fabric of who she is.
Yeah.
And I love her so much that I want to be a part of that fabric, yeah. Right? But at the same time, I had literally been running all over the place all day. We had had a bunch of things for work to do. Like I had been in the car. I had been running the dog around all day. And there was part of me that felt the guilt start to rise and be like, I should just go. But I knew that it was going to be, you guys have been dealing with sciatica for a little bit. And I knew I was going to be probably sitting on the floor of some classroom or a gymnasium watching a movie with a bunch of screaming 5-year-olds and God, whatever ages were invited, you know, and their parents are running around. And so it was going to be 2.5 hours of Despicable Me 4 on a gymnasium floor. And I was so tired, right? And then I had just been like, I was mentally and physically tired for whatever reason that day. And I had been sick earlier in the week. So being out all day after recently recovering from not feeling great, I just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And I said, sweetheart, I love you, but I don't have it in me tonight. I just don't have it in me to go. And so I held that up and I didn't feel guilty, you know, but the your body wants to remember that. Mm-hmm. Right. And I knew that she was fine and I knew that she would go and have a great time with her daughter, mother-daughter time, just the two of them, and they would be totally fine.
Yeah.
I also know that my Brittany would love to have other people there with her because that's what makes her feel more comfortable in those situations. She doesn't love social situations in the school where she's the adult and she has to, interact with all this. She does a great job in the moment, right. But leading up to it, that's one of her things. It's like, she's like, I don't really want to go and have to talk to people and, you know, and be the mom in that moment that talks to other moms and dads and talks to all the kids. And she does beautifully in those moments, but she worries about it.
Yeah.
She's really sort of introverted. And so I know all of those things, right? And so we want to take on other people's stuff and help them because we're a two. And that's what we do in our Enneagram. And I was like, no, I really just want to be at home with my husband tonight in my jammies, curled up with a cup of tea and maybe watch some TV and snuggle on the couch and do nothing.
So it's like a lot of like the playing the tape forward, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, okay, I know this information about the situation. So what if I go? What happens?
Yeah.
And then what if I stay home? What happens?
Right.
And then like making that decision based upon what your body is telling you that you need versus the recalling the information and saying, well, this is what I should be doing.
Or I feel guilty about.
Yeah.
The maternal guilt that comes up with it. And I will say that I notice that a lot less, you know, these days, and that I can identify it and see it and then make a different choice.
Yeah.
Based on what, you know, what my body feels like and what what I ultimately really need. Now, if my kids really need me for something, right? And I'm able to give that, of course I will. And and that just comes with being a parent. But I can't always say yes to all of the requests all of the time if I'm not feeling good or if I need something different or if work is crazy or whatever, you know, the thing is that I'm not one of those. I was a young mother, so I'm a young juju.
Yeah.
And so they're dealing with somebody who's not retired, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not a retired person.
Yeah.
So I do have work obligations and I do have things that I have to do. So I can't just be a full-time juju and mother to them to help them the way maybe some other retired grandparents could do that.
Right.
I'm not always available every day all the time. And so they have actually said that, you know, and I've had to deal with that. Like, well, mom, it would be nice if you were, you know, if you were retired. And I'm like, that's not our reality.
Yeah.
I do as much as I can do. And I historically would have put myself in a position to be responsible, I think, for their emotions more than like wanting to make it easy for everyone because I can see those big pictures and see how they play out and insert myself to make it easier for people. I think that's my biggest struggle with family historically. Trying to save people, my brother, you know, like back when he was younger, and go and clean up for him and take care of his kid. And, you know, like just trying to help, like help build him up, right? Is what I thought I was doing. But I really made myself responsible for everybody's adult lives in some ways back in the day. And I don't like do that anymore.
Managing everyone's emotions is the most exhausting thing.
And an effort and complete futility.
Yeah.
I'm not in charge, nor can I control them, nor can I really even think that I have any sort of impact on their emotions, really.
Right.
I'm trying, but I really don't, you know?
Well, then it just drains you of your own emotion. Like, that's what's crazy about it is at the end of the day, you're the only one suffering from
that. I found myself in my 40s not knowing who I was. Having no clue as to what real Christy loves and wants and gets lit up by. And it's all of a filter of everybody else around me's emotions. It's all through a curtain of that. Yeah. It's not just singularly sit in a selfish space and say, this is what I know to be my truth and what I want in this life. And I'm slowly discovering that person.
Yeah.
But it's been really hard to find her and to listen to her and to give her credence, because I still want to default to based on this curtain. And I have varying beliefs about that. In some ways, I feel like the greatest job you could ever do is be a mother. And that doesn't stop. It doesn't stop until you're dead.
Yeah.
From the time you have a child until the time you take your last breath.
Yeah.
That doesn't really stop. And what is there a greater honor other than that, to help usher other souls onto this planet and be any source of resource for them or a source of, you know, guidance or love or just unconditional love, really, is all that people need. Right? But that takes the form of a lot of different things.
Well, that's what I was going to say. If you think about it, being a woman, and we talked about this in either a full moon circle or a class, who can say, but actually it doesn't even matter if you have a child, you are love. And all you want to do is give love and help others be able to receive love.
Yeah.
And it's just that responsibility of like the feminine of how can I make sure everyone feels loved?
Yeah.
Whether it's with family or friends or an animal, like people, I won't say people, but I think anyone who identifies with that feminine energy is constantly taking and spending all of their time, and their life's mission is to help give and others receive love.
Yeah. And the balance is figuring out how to do that without completely abandoning yourself.
Totally.
And that's what we hear over and over again in that chair is I abandoned self. I listened to other people. I wasn't sure. And now I'm trying to find my way back to her.
Yeah.
And it's a common theme. A lot of what I sit here and think about is, wow, how can we keep that from happening?
Yeah.
And maybe it's just part of the journey. Maybe it's always supposed to happen. But I look at my little Remy and my little Elsie is the women in the tiny women in our family. And how can we give them permission to say who they are? Well, and I don't know how to.
You're doing it.
Yeah.
You're doing the work and you're demonstrating for your daughters what that looks like so they can demonstrate for their daughters what it looks like. Because maybe the journey is coming back to that, but it's also about healing ourselves so we don't pass on that shit.
Right.
The you should be doing, you shouldn't do this, you should do that, this won't make enough money, you should go here. It's about making yourself feel comfortable with yourself and your journey so that you can demonstrate that for everybody else.
Yeah. And just champion them at every moment I can get, whatever they want to do, you know, and stop with the messaging about woulda, coulda, shoulda. This is I can't tell you how many nurses I met that said, I just wanted to be a nurse because my family kept telling me that I would always have a job.
Yeah. We had our guest last week who that exact thing happened to.
Yeah. I would always have a job. And you're like, and I don't like it, right? Yeah. And, you know, Brittany had no idea what she wanted to do when she went to school and she chose to be an occupational therapist. And I think mostly because her sister decided to be a social worker And they're all sort of in the medical field. And so they looked at me and that's what I did. And so she found something that seemed interesting to her at the time. But really her energy, she doesn't have an energy type, right? So she's a projector and she is touched out at the end of the day. She found out after several years of working at the James that she came home and was talked out and touched out. She didn't have the sustained energy for that field. And it was literally draining the life force out of her. Like we could watch it leave her.
Yeah.
And I'm like, honey, you are so unhappy. You know, like we have to for you.
But she didn't have the language to know that she was an energy type that didn't, right?
No, like, she didn't have any of that.
And I think that's what we're trying to facilitate for any women that come into our circle is knowing yourself is the greatest gift and the biggest change you can make in this world.
So helpful.
Because then for us, you don't have to feel bad when we're like, yeah, I've had 75 different careers. This is because I can't figure out which one I like the best. Right. So I just keep trying on new things. And then you don't feel bad about that. And then you're not a monster to be around or, you know what I mean? All those things make you feel comfortable being you. So then you can make other people feel comfortable being them.
Right.
We've all been in a place where we felt miserable. So we make other people feel miserable.
Yeah.
Knowing oneself. Right. I mean.
It's the best gift we really can give.
Anybody.
Ourselves and our family and our friends and our community. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is focus on yourself and be the person that you want to see in the world.
Totally.
And that's literally what we've been doing and what I've been doing for years and what you're doing and, you know, what all of our women's circles are about. And there's just really strong women doing amazing work to rediscover themselves or discover themselves for the first time. And it's been really powerful and beautiful. And what that's going to ripple out to be like is going to be.
Well, we've had lots of guests on our pod so far that do amazing things with healing and teaching, whether it be Dr. Mary in her classes, Sarah, who literally is light and love, doing all of the workshops that she does. You know, even Brittany helping people feel confident about their bodies, right? Like we have all these. Jessica, who does a Reiki, like we have all these amazing people who offer so much love and light through services they give.
Right.
And that's beautiful. And, you know, we'll do a reminder coming up in February, especially around Valentine's Day, of how you can love yourself more.
Yep.
By
even if you don't have a significant other. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. Schedule a session, man. Start to learn more about yourself. Open that door. Don't be afraid. It can be dark at times. It can be scary. It can be overwhelming, but just understand that this is your chance to evolve and grow to a whole different version of yourself, to follow your newfound passions or rediscovered passions and new skill sets that you're discovering every single day.
Yeah.
And just be bold.
Yep. Well, remember to follow us on social. Because we do want to do some bigger things, but we do have to meet certain quotas, right? So making sure you're subscribing on YouTube and then Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and iHeart is really important to get us to be able to do more of these things.
Yes.
And then just share episodes with people that you feel like would resonate with these type of conversations. And we would love to hear from you. DM us on social. You know, you can shoot us an email right from our website. Yep. Let us in so we can connect and hopefully we can, you know, make connections for you and with you.
Yep. So. Sounds good. All right. Thanks, you guys.
Love you.
Time. Love you.